He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and the automobile industry is slowly and somewhat jerkily coming back to life from production to sales as the country starts opening up. And there's lots of stories in the automotive industry, industrial news about what's going on in the plants, from brief shutdowns or shutdowns that are getting briefer as they're learning how to clean the factories more quickly after a worker or more is found to have test positive for the coronavirus. And I guess they have to stop the plants and sanitize the place before they can restart, because they don't know how many things have been touched by that worker or how many other people might have been infected. But it all creates a certain amount of chaos in getting the supply lines going. And it's not only the automobile assembly plant, it's the supplier plants and everything else. But they will get through it and they will get going. And I have seen a number of car carriers on 995 delivering, probably many of them are delivering used cars, moving them around the country. But you know they're new when they're wrapped in plastic, as most Audis and some VW transporters are. And others have partial roof protection stuff on them. And you can pretty well tell that those are brand new vehicles that have been picked up at some depot where they've been delivered into the ports via the way they get to those ports. Not many, but they're out there. I saw them last weekend, and so dealers are getting new stocks. The carriers I saw were not carrying pickup trucks. They were carrying SUV-type vehicles. As Jay has said, and he'll chime in, I'm sure, the trucks have been the first to get the priority for the plant restarting, because pickups seem to be somebody said there was one in five vehicles is now a pickup truck in sales in the country. And if that's the case, they really do need to get the pickups going.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I read it, so it must be true, right?
It must be true.
Therefore, ergo, okay. And it was by the pickup.
In any event, it's good for business. As is opening up the country is good for any business, not to mention vehicles and real estate and other things. But there's a lot going on in the development situation of what's going on in updating cars and all that. I'm reading online this morning that BMW is adding in a mid-cycle range a new mild hybrid system for some of their 5 Series sedans to increase mileage and, I don't know, efficiencies of that particular car.
Can I interject here?
Absolutely.
Robin, 2 years ago when the new 5 Series came out, I think it was a 2018 model, BMW was offering both the 530i and the 530e. And E stood for, it was actually the hybrid model. So the two cars were, one was a pure, a four-cylinder, two-liter turbocharged engine, and the other one was a hybrid with the same engine as the base, putting out a little less horsepower, but compensating by with the electric motor, and, you know, getting better mileage and range and all that. And they actually were bold enough to offer the car at the same price. So the BMW hybrid has been on the market on and off for a while, and it just never seems to catch on. And I'll be honest, in the case where it's offered at exactly the same price as the non-hybrid model, you have to wonder why. I just cannot wrap my head around it.
Well, you know, Lincoln did that with the with their hybrid systems a few years back as well. They offered it wasn't the big Lincoln, it was a mid-size or smaller size vehicle, and they offered the hybrid and the gasoline at the same exact price. I do not know whether the internal content or, you know, the insides were exactly the same, but it never took off either. But, you know, we're still in the stages, but I think it's going to accelerate quite quickly, of learning to know that hybrids are not scary vehicles to own. Before Jay, you came on to join me, and since then also we've talked about in some shows that the public's lack of knowledge, intelligent knowledge about the hybrid situation and or electric vehicles even. And there's still some of that going on, but I think a lot of the bit about electric, pure electric vehicles is certainly diminishing. The objections to them is diminishing as we go forward. But hybrids seem to be a mystery because when I talk to hybrids to people and they say, I say I have a hybrid, they say, well, how much more service do you have? And I say, absolutely none. Because the mild hybrids, which they aren't pure hybrids in terms of you don't get pure electric. Well, you get 1 or 2 miles at 70 miles an hour of pure electric, but are basically just gasoline engines with hybrid drives. And the gasoline engines need oil changes, but the hybrid system doesn't need any service. At least I haven't had experience any service for my hybrid in 70, you know, in about 60 or 70,000 miles on my Hyundai. And to that end, Jay, you're right. BMW didn't get much mileage with their hybrid versions of the 5 Series, and Lincoln didn't either. And now they're trying again as we go into the future. But then we have the current administration rolling back the fuel economy gains needed by the manufacturers going through into the next 10 years. And that's another dampener to anybody thinking that they really should be thinking hybrid at all, coupled with, of course, the low gas prices, which are currently continuing quite nicely.
Can I interject for a second now?
Sure.
All right. This is only anecdotal, and it's only one person, but I have known her habits for a number of years, and I am struck by it. And this is someone who adores her Tesla, but this is someone who used to drive, and Robin, you will take this to heart, I believe, because very, very happy to hop in the car and drive to pick a place, any place. I remember particularly a trip with her kids to the various baseball stadiums in mm-hmm. the, you know, all across the...
Yep.
The reason I mention this is because after taking the Tesla down to Florida, mm-hmm. where she had to stop and charge it for, and this was during the time when nothing was open...
Right.
She's very conscious about limitations. And
did it bother her, though?
Yes.
Well, we have talked about this, of course. Jay has minimized it as being a real problem.
Well, it's not about minimizing.
The majority of owners to this moment, to this time period, aren't doing that kind of travel that quickly. But as you know, both you and Jay know, I have been touting that as been the biggest objection to having a hybrid if it was your only car, and trying to go on
a
long distance journey right. in an effective time frame situation, and it is not able to be done yet conveniently unless you go straight A to Z. Maybe you have Tesla's like supercharging stations on available to you from A to B destination, you know, start to finish, and you don't want to go off and tour up a valley in Nevada or something as you're driving along, because you don't have that extra range confidence to be able to do that and get back on the main road, and then you still got to wait 30 minutes or more for most charging situations.
The point is not just the touring. The point is the A to Z is still not on...
Here's my point.
Yeah.
I think we're halfway there. And let me explain.
I think that's about right.
A good idea. Good theory.
You know, I went to Boston last week, and I'll get back to that in a second. But so it is roughly, you know, it was 350 mile round trip. So every time I go to Boston, I go, it's easy. It's a 1 day trip. I have to go. I come back, but I go, okay, with a Tesla, I would really be getting antsy. Right about in the middle of exit 3 and exit 2 on the Mass Pike.
Coming back.
Because we're like, okay, this is really stretching the envelope. And I'm not sure you can actually go to Boston and back, probably on a good day with one of the later Teslas.
Without a stop?
Without a stop.
Of some kind.
Without a stop that entails...
At a charging station, right?
A charging stop.
Yep.
Now, in all honesty, a quick charge of probably about 20 minutes gets you a good chunk of your range.
Correct.
Would probably be enough to come back. My point is, I think the day we get to the one-day driving range, which is like somewhere in the 500, 550-mile range. I think all those psychological objections just go away.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, my question is, how far away, what has to happen to be there? Or get there?
I'm not very well versed in the whole electric, batteries and the technology in that field. But I mean, we do know that the range is extending. If you look at what Tesla company, even 3-4 years ago, we were talking low 200s, then mid 200s, then we reached 300. Now, I think the 3 is at the 360-mile range, so it's creeping up. And I think just as a hunch and as a gut feeling, I think that it is not too far away the day we'll have a 500-mile range vehicle. Actually, I think that in the Cybertruck we'll get to that because there'll be like a double battery pack.
Okay, Jay, you brought the word truck up, and I'm sitting here looking at an edition of the Automotive News, and I am looking at something that just appalls me that some guy would think that he's really going to make any money at all with his truck. I'm talking about this guy named Bollinger, who is developing an electric pickup, and there's a picture of it, and it looks like a military-grade vehicle. And it's going to be $125,000 as a 200-mile range. Okay, let's get to range for a minute. I'd like to have, discuss this in the pickup line situation, the what we're talking about when the range estimates are given for pickups. Because I would like to know whether the 200-mile range in this particular pickup at $125,000 is even a saleable vehicle for anybody but somebody who might just want to have it as And of course, he admittedly says he won't sell many. Is the range empty, or is the range loaded? And if the range is estimated at the empty situation, which is what I think I'm seeing in all these range estimates for pickup trucks, what happens when you load up a pickup truck with a 500-pound load or more in the bed, and you try to tow an 8,000? Jay, what is your rig weigh that you tow?
About 6,000 pounds.
Okay. Let's say 6,000 pounds and up, and you try to go on a 150 or 180-mile trip to your vacation spot. I want to know what the range situation is with these pickup trucks at 200 miles or 300, because you were just saying the mileage is going up on vehicles and eventually may get to 500 miles.
Well,
then you won't have any problem.
Pack. I mean, in that particular, in Tesla's case, in that example, so they're doubling the 250 to 500. And I don't know, I read that very quickly, and it was a few weeks ago, so I really don't know much about it. But, it's likely to happen.
Yeah, well, Bob Bollinger's got this crazy-looking truck. I mean, it looks like it could be a Hummer alternative.
Yeah, it's a marketing stint. It's going nowhere.
It's a marketing thing, but they want to try to get pickup trucks into the world of electricity, either in hybrid form or pure, and all the domestic manufacturers are going to come forth with something pretty soon in that range. But they're going to be probably better range, and they're going to be probably a lot cheaper. They're going to still be in the $60,000 to $70,000 range or less, hopefully, because they're not going to sell anything. Contractors can't afford to buy them. That doesn't mean they don't buy them. But they shouldn't.
Let's speak about marketing stints for a second.
Yeah, okay.
Did anybody see the two NASA astronauts?
Yes,
that was so cool.
Tesla X.
Is going to have, he's reveling in his success on that. And he should get all the credit he deserves.
Don't you think? I mean, all the credit in the world.
It was fantastic. I don't want to talk rockets in our auto show, but to his credit, he really has shown America that he can actually produce something that went off with a 110% success thing, I think. I didn't see the landing of the booster. Did anybody see that?
Yes, and that was the coolest thing.
And landing that
straight on
the
drone ship,
thing.
That was absolutely world-class.
High praises to Elon, okay,
yep.
For those who have listened to us be somewhat questionable about some of his things.
Well, here's, you know, I was thinking about that since. I did not see the docking, but I was walking and I was listening to it and playing it on YouTube.
Yeah, I watched some of the docking yesterday. C-SPAN carried it all
and,
day.
But I look at Tesla or Elon's, you know, Tesla and SpaceX, and you look at, you know, how we've picked apart the company, we've picked apart his personality, you know, it reminds me a lot of Steve Jobs and Apple. And when you think of Apple, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it's been that long, and the Apple II and the Mac coming out, and the non-compatible side of things. And, you know, I was always a PC guy, and always I really was not a Mac fan at all. And yet there was, you know, there was obviously enough believers to believe in the product.
Yes.
And after Jobs was booted out of his own company and brought back in, we know what happened. And here we are, you know, 30 years later, and every electronic product that's worth talking about is you know, likely to be an Apple product. And I just see a lot of similarities with Tesla and on the side note, you know, SpaceX.
I agree, but it was really wonderful to behold. The enthusiasm that I had for it was, I think, spread probably up. I think a lot of people watched it. So good for him, and I hope he gets more rockets into the air sooner now that he can reuse the boosters and all that. But I think the booster return, the successful booster return, is something to behold too, because. You know, I don't know where the boosters parted over, you know, in the air, and where how it had to find its way back to its landing spot. But the fact that it did it was magnificent.
So let me go. You know, now that we've been all
let's get back to autos.
All enthusiastic about the new world, a little doom and gloom. Bronx Honda, and I'll name them by name. They have just been fined, I think, $1.5 million. As they were practicing discrimination in their sales and lending practices. I don't know if
there's been a lot of that.
They are
not alone in that kind of thing. It's been a pretty ugly scene in the financing and lending in the automobile industry and dealerships and discrimination and that kind of thing for a long time. What point do you want to make quickly?
Well, so what they were doing is they were the lending the loans going to African Americans and Hispanic
other minorities, yeah, were different rates.
Customers were at rates that were substantially higher rates than
that's been an ongoing problem.
And charging also, you know, all sorts of fees. They were charging fees that they were not allowed to charge. They were selling CPOs with, you know, charging people the reconditioning fees, which was, you know, not allowed by the manufacturer. I mean, all sorts of nasty things. And it just, you know.
Well, I brought up something very similar. It wasn't a discriminatory situation, but it was certainly a hidden cost that if you didn't read through the contract carefully, you would have signed away your paying $350 or $500 extra for a dealer administration fee in the sales thing, where it was clearly stated, if you got to that point of reading the contract before you signed it, said it was a negotiable by law amount. And I got hit with it, and I found it, and I saw it, and I cut it in 50% in half, and then later, this was in the preliminary sales contract, and then when I signed the final sales contract, I found that it was back in there at the full amount, and I paid it, except that I don't know whether I really paid it or not, because I was negotiating the price, and it was all sort of gobbledygook going on. But as far as the discrimination situation, that's been an ongoing issue, and it's a sad situation to know that it keeps occurring. But there are dealers out there that try to sell cars with all sorts of add-ons, and I'm not sure it's necessarily discriminatory by race, because these dealers try to put on things like window etching and all that kind of thing, and they hide them into in there, and sometimes they tell you about it, and sometimes they don't, and they didn't on my on a vehicle I purchased, and I went out and I refused to pay it, and I know I didn't pay it, and I went out and the vehicle I got has the window etching in it, so they'd already etched all their windows. So regardless of who was going to buy the vehicle, in many of the vehicles on their lot, I went around the lot and looked, and there were etching on some and no etching on others. And it is simply a guy who comes along with a little etching thing and marks all the serial numbers or some kind of special number on the windows in case your car gets stolen. It's supposed to be findable. I think it's bogus. First of all, you can't see it. And secondly, who would think to look for window etching? But these are the kinds of things, and then they have paint protection, and they have all sorts of things. And I know they want to make some profit. But, boy, buyers should beware of these add-ons and be alert that they may be there in a contract, hidden or otherwise, and they have a right to refuse to accept them. When you go to the F&I department, you go from one department to another in many dealerships still. And these are all things that people need to watch out for. As far as interest rates, Jay, I don't know how that gets fixed. But let's see here. I wanted to bring up one other thing here, and I'll see if I can get to it. Jay, do you have anything to say while I'm looking?
Yeah, safety.
Okay.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety came out with a report that pretty much confirms what most people think anyway, that bigger cars are safer than smaller cars.
And smaller car sales are falling precipitously as a result, Jay, as you know.
Yeah, and basically they categorized where what they were analyzing was the number of deaths per million miles. Yeah. And this was a study based the most recent study using 2017 model cars. And large luxury SUVs were probably the safest, and amongst cars, luxury cars were safer than smaller sedans. And there's also a statistic that luxury vehicles amongst the same size of cars seem to have less deaths than non-luxury vehicles.
Okay.
There was one exception in all that, and I have yet to try to explain it. The Volkswagen Golf was the car with the least, with virtually zero deaths per X million of miles.
And that's not a big car. So, I tell you one thing about the Volkswagen Golf. They don't get in accidents, or they have a very good strength factor in their frame.
And speaking as someone who has fully crashed a Volkswagen, even though it was a Passat and it was years ago, I would go with the latter.
Okay. I think we're getting close to closing. I want to just say one quick thing. Police explorers bring the heat to kill virus. Ford has developed an app, software available on the 2013 to 2019 police interceptor utility vehicles in the police forces that can heat the inside of the vehicle to 133 degrees, and it will kill 99% of viruses that are maybe on the interior surfaces of the vehicles.
I
don't know
whether
that's going to come to a regular car near us, but I wouldn't want to get in it while it was doing this.
So it's not UV?
It's not UV. It's an app that'll make the engine interior heat up to 133 degrees. The flashers will be on and all that, so you don't get in it, and you got to wait 15 minutes before you get in the car and
I
start
usually don't
it
get
down.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, it sounds like charging a Tesla. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
They have 2020 Explorers now, too, here in Connecticut.
Okay.
What?
2020 Explorers, brand new cars in the fleet.
Yep. Okay.
All right. And, Jay, anything in your last minute?
No, I think I was going to say we've said it all, but I think we've said everything that we can say in with a minute left. So
I'll give you that. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.